Welcome to Church Online today. It is great to have you with us, and a special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn and I'm the minister at Adelaide West. We light a candle every week and we do it to remember that Christ is the light of the world. And as we light our candles together, it's a tangible symbol of our gathering together. Today we have the Reverend Dr. Christy Kappa sharing with us. Christy is an ordained minister in the Anglican Church and the acting principal of the Uniting College for Leadership and Theology, where she's also the director of missiology and she's a lecturer in theology at Flinders University. She's the author of a range of papers, and her PhD thesis explores the theological imperative of authentic selfhood. Really fascinating. So it's a joy to have Christy sharing with us today. We are witnesses to the love of God that has been poured into us. And so we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
From Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 36 to 48, these words. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood amongst them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. In this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
I love the resurrection narratives. It's funny being here nearly 2,000 years later and knowing the end of the story, knowing the surprise that the disciples encounter when they encounter the risen Jesus. It's easy to think the disciples just didn't quite get it, and aren't we good because we do? But really, the only reason that we understand these resurrection narratives, as we see in Luke 24, is because they went on that journey first. Here we have this room full of disciples, including the ones who just walked with Jesus down the road to Emmaus and then run all the way back to tell the disciples what they'd experienced, that Jesus had appeared to them. And then Jesus appears to all of them together. And perhaps for those disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, it was a bit of a "see, I told you so" kind of moment. But perhaps it was also just a bit of a shock for everyone else. Regardless of what was happening, Jesus appears among the disciples and he speaks to them. And they're frightened, probably unsurprisingly. But soon they see that he's not a ghost. Ghosts don't tend to eat. With the disciples still a bit shaken, Jesus reminds them of what he had said before he died, before he was resurrected. And he begins to show them everything that's written about him in Moses and the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and that needs to be fulfilled. This idea of the fulfillment of the scriptures is a bit of a theme in Luke's writing. Jesus opens the minds of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he opens the minds of the disciples to the scriptures in this passage as well. And then later in the book of Acts, we see Jesus making a continuation between what's happening in the Jewish scriptures and the life, death, and resurrection that he's gone through himself. This is what Peter speaks about in all of his speeches in Acts. It's what they argue with the Jewish leaders about. This is the connection between what God has done in the past and what God is doing now in the future. See, the story of Jesus is a bit of a crazy story. It just doesn't seem to fit in our minds. We get used to it 2,000 years later, this idea that someone has died and then risen from the dead. But for the first disciples, the true strangeness, the true craziness of this story was very apparent. N.T. Wright talks about the idea that Christianity stretches our minds, that it challenges our imaginations further than we'd usually like. And in my experience, this is pretty true. I grew up in a Christian home. My mum's worked on and off through her life as a lay minister, and I was born while my dad was studying at theological college to be a minister. So I have certainly grown up in a Christian home. And yet often the message and the ideas in Christianity still overwhelm me. As Christians, We spend time in the scriptures, and it's important for us to do that, to wrestle with these ideas that are in the scriptures, with their complexity and their counterintuitiveness. It's important for us to wrestle with things like all of the violence that we see in a book that promotes a God of peace. It's important for us to wrestle with what the Bible says about things like poverty and slavery and money and all of the other complex discussions that are in the Bible. Theologian Dennis McBride, when writing about this passage, says that more than simply encountering Jesus is needed for the disciples. It's more than just seeing Jesus that we need for an Easter faith. Now, that might sound strange to you. Surely Jesus is enough. Surely an experience seeing the risen Jesus is all that we need. But no, Jesus doesn't even seem to think that that's enough. Both in this passage and in the road to Emmaus, Jesus appears and then discusses how the prophecies, how the Psalms, how the law all lead to him. He kind of gives them a bit of a Bible lesson and opens their minds to understand the scriptures in a new way. He helps the disciples to piece together their new faith. It's not only about seeing and experiencing the risen Jesus, but about understanding why that's important and what to do from there. McBride goes on to show that this is the beginning of understanding who Jesus is. And this understanding brings the church to the threshold of being the witnessing community that it is in Acts. Isn't that interesting that to be a witnessing community, we need to understand where Jesus fits in the scriptures and what the scriptures are saying to us? As the Holy Spirit's poured out at Pentecost, we start to understand more about who Jesus is. The disciples have the confidence to really become that witnessing community. And yet, it was before that that Jesus started to help them understand who he was in a different way. I find this idea that our discipleship, our following Jesus, requires study and understanding of the scriptures encouraging, but also challenging. Challenging because through my own study, I find that often we end up with more questions than we do answers. In one of my first year introduction to theology classes, the class often starts off and I ask them a question about theology and they say Jesus, because of course Jesus is always the right answer when it comes to studying theology. By the end of this class though, my class had got cheeky and instead of answering Jesus to every question, they simply leant back and said, "It's a mystery." Which is true, but as a lecturer trying to start a discussion in the class, it's not the most helpful kind of answer to give. And yet, often when I teach this class, this introductory class, I get overwhelmed again with the mystery of who God is. Australian biblical scholar Robin Whittaker speaks about this passage and she says that the disciples are experiencing joy in their disbelief, that little line that's there in Luke. She says it's better understood not as disbelief, but as wondering or reasoning or puzzling out, experiencing joy in the midst of our wondering, in the midst of our questioning, in the midst of our reasoning. The joy of Easter exists in the midst of trying to work these things out, in the midst of confusion or puzzlement. We experience Jesus as we engage in wrestling with the scriptures and with our Christian faith. So what does it mean for us, for those of us who follow Jesus and for those of us who maybe don't follow Jesus, to really think about faith? For those of us who are followers of the resurrected Jesus, how are we engaging in puzzling out our faith? Realizing that puzzling out our faith is essential for us as a witnessing community. Of course, doesn't mean we have to have all the answers. I don't think the disciples looked like they had it all together with all of the answers in the New Testament. But reasoning out, puzzling things out, is essential to this process of following Jesus. Well, I think there's a number of ways that we can puzzle out our faith. One is what we're doing right now, sitting and listening to someone talk about the scriptures, talk about what it is to follow Jesus. But we can't really just rely on a short talk each week for all of our puzzling out. That's sort of a little bit like outsourcing all of that puzzling to someone else to do. Another way that we can really delve into the scriptures is by reading them ourselves. We puzzle them out as we read them. And there are lots of online and printed programs that can help us do this, that can help us puzzle out the scriptures. But it doesn't have to be something that we even do alone. We can be part of small groups that do this together and wrestle with ideas. This week I heard about a small group of young adults in Melbourne who meet each week together and listen to a podcast called By the Well, where a group of Australian scholars get together and talk about the lectionary readings for the following week. Very helpful if you're a preacher. And so this group from the Uniting Church, this group of young adults, sits together and they listen to this podcast and then they talk about it. They talk about the different ideas that are raised and they puzzle out the scriptures. And of course, there are other ways that we can engage with puzzling these things out as well. And for me, one of the best ones has been thinking about studying theology. Now, of course, I've taken theological study to the extreme. I got ordained, I became a theologian. I'm not necessarily encouraging you to go down that path. Studying theology doesn't just have to be for future ministers and future scholars. It's something that's available and there for the whole church, for anyone who's interested in puzzling with their faith a bit more. Before I started studying theology, I'd been working in university ministry, and a lot of my time was spent with Christians who were students who were Christians and students who were not Christians, looking at the Bible and looking at what Christianity was about. But it was different to study theology. I'd spent all this time in the scriptures, all this time asking questions and teaching others, and yet hearing from people who had spent their whole lives puzzling out the scriptures, their whole lives thinking deeply about it, really challenged me in thinking about my own faith. I learned about the history of the scriptures. I learned about different ways that people read the writings of the Christian faith. And for me, it was an incredibly joyful experience as I puzzled out this idea of who the resurrected Jesus is and what it means to follow Jesus in our lives and in the world. It's not to say that I learned all the answers. Maybe my class is right and mystery is really the best description. But I learned more about myself. I learned more about who Jesus is calling me to be. And I learned to think deeply about my faith. Not everybody needs a PhD in theology. Not everybody needs a degree in theology. But as Christians, we're called to joy and puzzlement as we work out our faith in the risen Jesus. This, along with the gift of the Holy Spirit, prepares us to witness in the world about who the resurrected Jesus is. So can I encourage you as fellow pilgrims to find ways to wrestle out the scriptures, ways to puzzle about theology. Not to leave theological and biblical study to those people that we think of as experts, but to join in this amazing journey that Jesus took the disciples on of opening our minds to new ways of thinking, opening our minds to the scriptures and understanding more about where Jesus fits in. This is what church is for. This is what our community is for. And this is what Uniting College is for as well. Not only for people who are going into ministry for their vocation, but for all of us to gather together and puzzle out our faith in community and open our minds to those gifts that Jesus gives us.
Times I failed, still your mercy lives. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. I'm lost, your light will shine when all else fades. Never end, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. well above a whole else, and my purpose remains the art of losing my soul. I give you control, consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all.
Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you for the gift of the scriptures and how they inspire us today, how they speak to us today. Thank you for the witness of the disciples, for their courage in opening their minds to new ideas in the resurrection. And from that, we are the future of their witness. Thank you for the love that you have poured into us. Help us to be witnesses of your love, to share your love with each person we meet, and to be witnesses to everyone we encounter. Lord Jesus, we confess that at times our doubts and fears override our hope and faith. We fail and stumble. Forgive us when we lose sight of the joy of your love and instead fall into despair and gloom. Forgive us for the things that we do, say, and think that separate us from your love. Forgive us, restore us, and renew us. Thank you that these things and all our sin is forgiven through Jesus Christ, who offers us new life, who continues to turn us around and upside down, continues to break down the walls of death in our own life. Holy Spirit, lift up our spirits. Help us to remember the promise of new life here and now, not just the hope of resurrection for the future. Increase our understanding, we pray, and open our minds and hearts to receive you. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our needs, and you know the hearts around us and their needs. We lift to you now the concerns on our hearts. We pray for our world. We pray for people struggling in life. Countries that are crushed under war, the environment when it's unprotected. And we continue to pray for a way forward with COVID-19. And we especially remember those countries that are doing it really tough at the moment. Lord Jesus, we pray for our communities at this time. We continue to remember all those in schools, staff, teachers, students who are on holidays. We pray for refreshment for the term ahead. And we pray that you would help us to make a difference in the communities wherever we are, to be a witness to your love. And Holy Spirit, as we do every week, we pray for those that we know and love that are on our hearts today. People going into surgery, people recovering, people grieving lost ones, people with mental health issues. Lord, we just bring to you all of those that are on our hearts, and we lift them to you together. And we pray that your love would surround them and sustain them. Lord God, you are our shepherd. We want to follow you wherever you lead us and wherever you go. Guide us each day as we minister to one another and to the world for which you gave yourself. And help us to bear witness to your name and to do what it is that you want us to do. We pray our prayers together in the name of Jesus. Amen. What a joy to gather again together in this way. We hope that today's service has brought you hope. If you would like prayer, press the prayer button or send us an email. We would love to hear from you and we'd love to pray with you. We continue to bring our offerings as a response to God's love poured out in our lives. We pray that our gifts, financial and practical, would be a witness to God's great love. So may God be with us all as we are led deeper into the mystery of our faith. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship, friendship, and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you today and tomorrow, and remain with you always. Amen. Blessings on your week.
I want to follow wherever